Wow, amen. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Feeling good? Let's give it up for our worship team leading us in song this morning. Super grateful for them. You know, I'm super encouraged. Today's a special day for me, having my family here with me, visiting our service. We've got both of my brothers and my sister are here, so that's super encouraging. My dad, my stepmom. And I just want to thank you guys for being here. I feel very loved and supported by all of you, and just very grateful that we get to worship God together this morning and to have you guys come see what Chelsea and I are doing here. Chelsea is home with the boys. They're both not feeling well, so pray for her, and hopefully they get better quickly. But I do want to, just thank my family for being here, especially my dad. I know I've shared this before in different ways, but my dad was definitely the biggest influence on my faith growing up. And I thank you for laying the foundation of my faith. And if it wasn't for what he did, I would not have responded to God's word as an adult in the ways that I needed to. And so thank you, Dad, for all that. So we're working together through the book of Acts to be inspired by the early church and to follow Jesus in our time today like they did then. Amen. So today we will be finishing chapter 9. So you could go over to Acts chapter 9. And we've been seeing some amazing things happen in the book of Acts, haven't we? Yes, and what's really cool, if you haven't noticed this, I hope to point this out to you, is that what we're seeing is Jesus' vision from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, his vision to bring forgiveness, hope, and change lives to all people through the church. We're seeing that vision unravel through the book of Acts. If you don't remember in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's Jesus's vision. And we see it happening through the book of Acts. Right? They started the church in Acts chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem. A lot of those people were residents of the country of Judea. And so they went back home and brought the gospel throughout Judea. But then in chapter 7, we saw the stoning of Stephen. And after that, it says the disciples spread out. And then, namely, Philip especially brought the gospel to where? Samaria. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then it says to the ends of the earth. And next week in Acts chapter 10, we're going to see the first full-blown Gentile become a Christian. And that's the start of this to the ends of the earth. But who became a Christian in the beginning of Acts chapter 9? Saul. That's what we looked at last week, right? And later on in chapter 13, Paul ends up leading many church plantings all throughout their known world at the time to the ends of the earth. Isn't that inspiring? Yeah. Jesus's vision and seeing it unravel. But what we need to realize is that the vision of Jesus is still alive and unfinished today. Right? We still need to fulfill this. You know, we started this new region, the city campus region here. We started this new region last year with a focused effort and goal of bringing Jesus to the younger generation of New York City. Right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, what's our piece? We're trying to bring Jesus to the younger generation of New York City and build the future of the church. Yeah. Right? Your peers, my peers, your peers, this city needs Jesus. Amen? Amen. They need his hope. They need his truth. They need his love. They need his grace. And don't you want to see miracles happen like in the book of Acts? Yeah. Right? I don't want to just look back after 3 years of this region and say, well, we tried. Right? We want to see incredible things happen like they did then, because what we're called to do is so important. It's the most important thing that anybody is doing, is bringing Jesus to people. And so in the book of Acts, we see all these victories for Jesus's vision. But we also see that none of them came about without sacrifice, without suffering. And so it's important to understand, wow, seeing Jesus's vision fulfilled, it's not magic. It doesn't automatically happen. And it's not easy, right? It happens through trial, through effort, through faith, through suffering. And so a good thing to ask is, well, what was the heartbeat? What was the actions behind what was going on in the book of Acts that kept Jesus' vision alive and active. How did they see such great things happen? And I think the end of Acts chapter 9 is a window into what was going on behind all of these big victories that we've been seeing. Does that make sense?
All right.
So that's what we're going to look at today. And the title of my sermon is The Heartbeat of Jesus' Vision. So Jesus has this big vision and there's these big things happening, just like our bodies like do a lot of things. But really, it's what's the heartbeat? What's the day-to-day small things that led to those bigger things happening? Does that make sense? So let's dig into Acts chapter 9 here and see how we could keep the heartbeat of Jesus' vision alive and pumping today. Amen?
Amen.
We'll read Acts 9, verse 32 to 43. And again, Scott preached an awesome message last week on Saul becoming a Christian in his first days as a disciple, immediately having an impact. And then we get these two great stories here at the end of the chapter. So Acts 9, 32. It says, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now, so far in the book of Acts, we've mainly been seeing kind of these big moments that I mentioned earlier. But right here, it kind of slows down and shows us the steady day-by-day heartbeat driving Jesus' vision forward in these two beautiful, heart-moving stories. Aren't these two encouraging stories here? And so from this passage, I got 2 points for us this morning on how we can have big impact in Jesus' vision. And the first point is let Christ live through you. Okay. That the way that we have big impact is each one of us, day by day, letting Jesus live through us. You've got to let Jesus live through you. Now, if you've read the Gospels, which most of you have, I'm sure, I think both of these stories, both Aeneas and Tabitha, both of them should sound familiar. Do they sound familiar to you at all? Yeah. You know, reading them, it almost feels like you're just reading part of Jesus' ministry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In John chapter 5, Jesus comes across a man who was an invalid for 38 years, couldn't walk. After a conversation in verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. That's what Jesus did with that man. And then Peter comes across Aeneas, who had been bedridden, paralyzed for 8 years. And he tells him the same thing. Take care of your mat. Get up and walk. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus went to the home of a sick girl who had just died. He sent everyone out of the room, just like Peter did here, except for the parents, Peter, James, and John. And then Jesus said to that little girl, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And she rose back to life. Peter was in the room that day. He watched Jesus say, Talitha, get up. And he saw her be healed. Peter watched Jesus with Talitha, and then he imitates Jesus with Tabitha. These two stories are so similar to Jesus' ministry. Why? Because Peter was continuing the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah.
He was letting Jesus live through him. And that's what we've been called to as his body, the church. We're here. Jesus is not here in the flesh anymore. His body is not here. And yet the Bible tells us it actually is. Who is his body? The church. We are his flesh, right? God lived in Jesus, and now Jesus lives in us, right? That's what we've been called to, is to be Jesus on earth now, to be Jesus to this city. And that's what we need to do. Like Peter, we look into God's word for who Jesus is, what he did. We look into God's word, and then we look out to God's world, and we let him live through us. That's how we see Jesus's vision realized. Big impact. But we have to decide to internalize that. We can't just kind of casually go day by day and be Jesus automatically. We have to decide to embrace that identity. Okay, as a Christian, my role, my calling is to be Jesus in this world. As a church, our calling is to be the body of Jesus in our city. You know, the New York City Marathon was last Sunday, right? We'll get to that picture in a second. We mentioned this last week. Let me just ask something here. How many of you in this room can run? Like, if you had to run from this end to the other end, how many of you could run 30 feet or so?
Maybe.
I think every person in here can run a little bit, right? And so a dangerous situation might bring that out, right? So everybody can run. How many of you, and I know there's some, how many of you would say, I'm a runner? I run. I am a runner. Jackson, you could definitely, if anybody in here could raise your hand. Anthony, you're a runner. You go out for, right? You go out for regular runs. You go running, right? Eric, you go running. You're a runner, right? He's a phys ed teacher. He can run, right? But so pretty much everybody can run, but not everybody is a runner. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you can't run a marathon unless you become a runner. A few weeks ago, I got to run in an 18-mile run across Long Beach Island, New Jersey. This was kind of a bucket list thing I had to do, and so I did it with Matt. Rupert, we did this together. We started at the bottom of the island, and we ran all 18 miles to the top of Long Beach Island. And I will say, it was not easy, right? Just because I'm a runner, it was not easy. Doing this did not happen accidentally or casually. I didn't wake up and go, you know, it's about time I get around to doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I have not always been a runner. You know, behind the 18-mile race was many daily decisions to become a runner and to grow in that, right? There were dozens and dozens of short runs, many longer runs, slowly building up to that. I had to learn what to eat, drink, wear, the mentality have. I had to develop the character that when my knees start to hurt or I start to just be very fatigued, you have to learn the character to keep going anyway,
yeah.
Right? I became a runner and then I got to celebrate a big victory. But that's what it takes for us spiritually too. To see Jesus's big vision happen, we can't just like Jesus, we must live like Jesus. Right? Anybody can go to church. Anybody can pick up a Bible and read it a little bit. But it's deciding, I'm going to be the church. I'm going to put into practice what I read in the Bible. Right? Just like you don't automatically wake up a runner, you have to make daily decisions to follow Jesus and to let him live through you. But when you decide that, when you do that, you grow and you become what he called you to be. And you start to see big things happen for him through your life. And so this morning, I want each of you to reflect, how eagerly are you going after learning and growing to be more like Jesus? Right, your time in his word, your prayer, maybe fasting, asking for help and getting discipling, deciding to step out in faith or persevere through when it's challenging. How is it going, eagerly deciding to let Jesus live through you? The heartbeat of Jesus's vision is every disciple letting Jesus live through them. You know, and I want to emphasize to close out this point, there's a lot that goes into that, right? Like, being like Jesus applies to many aspects of life. But I kind of want to emphasize one major way that we do need to let Jesus live through us that I see in this story today. And that's being like Jesus in the aspect of being giving and caring about people. That's what you see in Peter's ministry here, imitating Jesus, is that part of letting Jesus live through you is caring about people and being giving to people. You know, just to read it again, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. You know, all of us love traveling, right? I love traveling, but why do we like it? A lot of times it's for personal reasons, right? Oh, I like to try the food there, or to see things I haven't seen, or whatever, and that's all fine. But Peter was traveling for spiritual reasons. He was like, hey, I'm going to go around and help people. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And I think we need to follow Peter's example here of letting Jesus live through us in initiating and investing ourselves in relationships with other people and with their spiritual lives. That was Jesus's ministry. That needs to be our ministry as well. That as we travel about our neighborhood, as we travel about our campus, as we travel about the city, we're not just going about our own business for ourselves. We're going about Jesus's business. Yeah. Who can I help? Who can I reach out to, right? Peter is going around to, why is he doing this? He's going around to encourage the other disciples, to strengthen them, to serve them, to evangelize, right? He's letting Jesus live through him. And if Jesus was all about anything besides God, he was all about people, loving people, investing in people, caring about people's lives, and most of all, caring about people's spiritual lives.
Yeah.
Christianity, at its heart, at its core, is tender, compassionate, and about caring about people. That's what it's got to be about. It's not just about the events. It's not just about church. It's about caring about people.
Yeah.
And that's what we see in Jesus. That's what we see in Peter here.
Amen.
You know, this is what Jesus does for us. He serves us. He meets our needs. He takes care of us. What Peter did for Aeneas is what Jesus has done for all of us. And I think Aeneas, you know, we don't want to shy over him as well. This disciple was bedridden for 8 years and still remained faithful. What a great example. Aeneas' faith through suffering and his changed life was a light to tons of other people. And then I love about this story is it shows us that Jesus is able to help us with things that we may have been stuck on for years.
Yeah.
There might be hurt. There might be sin. There might be guilt. There's stuff in our lives that maybe we've been stuck with, paralyzed by for years. And that through Jesus's power, through his ministry, we can find healing from those things, change in those things. And then as we're served, then we can serve others. Over and over again, the Bible shows us that changed lives change lives. That as we let our lives be changed, we can turn around and change other people's lives as well. One of the biggest needs of young people in New York City is friendship and somebody to care about them and to lean into their life. That's Jesus's ministry. That gets to be our ministry as well. I think it's awesome when in verse 34, Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Peter had such a strong connection with the fact that what he was doing was Jesus working through him. He didn't say, I heal you. He said, Jesus heals you. Right? We see here this clarity that Peter was trying to just let Jesus live through him, to be Jesus, to be Jesus's ministry, to credit Jesus, to rely on Jesus. And I think that can help us so much because when we try to go do things for God and yet rely on ourselves, we burn out.
Yeah.
We fall short. We stop short. We don't push as far as we could or that we need to. But when we decide to let Jesus live through us, to live by his power, his spirit, his ministry, then you can live not based on what you can do, but you can live based on what he can do.
Yeah.
Right? And you can really let Jesus live through you. It's kind of a secondary state. You don't have to make it happen. You just let Jesus live through you. And so let's live to give. Amen?
Amen.
Let's be people who let Jesus live through us, especially in this area of caring about people, initiating, investing, As you travel the city, your campus, your neighborhood, your home, find someone you can help, right? Figure out, where are you called to be Jesus? Who are you being called to be Jesus to? Because the heartbeat of Jesus's vision is every one of us, wherever we go, letting Jesus live through us. Amen?
Amen.
Let Jesus live through you. And secondly, lean in to your role.
Okay.
You got to let Jesus live through you, and then you've got to lean in to your role.
Amen.
I'll go back and read just a little bit about Tabitha, and we'll talk about her. It said in Joppa, and so basically Peter was first in Lydda. This is about 25 miles northeast of Jerusalem in Judea. So he travels there, and then Joppa was just a few miles away from there, a port city. And so Peter's traveling around Judea, and it says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. Listen to what it says about her. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And then we know that she passes away, and the disciples that knew her heard Peter was not too far away. And so they said, hey, let's get Peter up here so he could help out with this. This was part of his ability as an apostle, was able to do miracles like raising people from the dead. Peter was an apostle. He could do that. So in verse 39, Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Tabitha had made while she was still with them. And then we know that she goes on to be healed and continue to serve in her role another day. But you read this story and you got to just say, wow, what an amazing woman, isn't she? You know, women like Tabitha are so needed in the church and in the world. And I want to say, let's give it up for all the incredible women in this room, in this ministry, that serve God in these ways. You know, Tabitha, as a poor, older widow, she easily could have been overlooked. She probably was overlooked by much of society. But God honors her for eternity because she gave her whole heart to him. Right? It says she was always doing good. She helped the poor. She used her gift and occupation as a tailor to honor God, to serve the church. She left behind an impact. That's evident in the crowd of people weeping around her death. Right? Tabitha leaned in, and she was a heartbeat of the church. And that's the thing, the heartbeat of the kingdom is not any one person or small handful of people. The heartbeat of the church is each follower of Jesus doing their part, giving themselves, using your gifts. Ephesians 4 says, the body grows. How do we grow? How do we be built up? The body grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. And so if each part doesn't do its work, does the body grow? No, we the few doing the work labor and strive but are fighting against the tide. The body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's when it happens. The general state of most organizations is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. But when the church is thriving, it's because everyone is leaning in to their role, their place, their way to give, people around them. And that's what you've got to leave here knowing, is that you are needed. You are irreplaceable. No one else can be you for this city. No one else can be you for the church. No one else can be you for God. And in Tabitha, we see that through leaning into our role, we can have an eternal impact. That's something every one of us needs to kind of really take to heart, is that through following Jesus, even somebody like Tabitha, who in regular world, regular society would have been overlooked, she was able to have a huge impact because of giving to God and to his kingdom. And that's something that we all get a chance to do, right? All of the work of politicians, of wealthy people in the world, of famous people, of humanitarians, right? All of that work matters, but it doesn't matter forever. Only the work of Jesus' ministry matters forever. And the truth is that only a few people really get to have a big impact in those realms that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like Tabitha, living a day-to-day, regular job, regular life. But through Jesus, every person, regardless of their status in the world, can make an eternal impact that matters forever. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Right? That regardless of what your status or role in the world is, you have gifts. You have a way that God could use every one of you to matter forever. And so because of that, we should learn to lean in to whatever that lane is for us. You know, I want to just kind of speak to something a little bit in this arena right here. You know, there is, and you've heard this, if you were at the retreat, you heard it, right? If you were at multiple other things, you've heard it. There is a big church-wide need for those gifted with leadership to train for and serve in the full-time ministry. Are you aware of this?
Yeah.
You need to be aware of this, right? And what I want to say is, if that's your gift, if that's your calling, then we need you to lean in, right? To lean into using that gift of leadership, amen? But, and here's what I want to share, in emphasizing that, and we do need to emphasize that, in emphasizing that, we need to be very careful not to create an imbalance of gift value. That serving in leadership is more important than serving in other ways.
Yeah.
Or to create a false assumption, and this is probably my biggest concern, to create a false assumption that here's your options. You could build God's kingdom in leadership, or you're not building God's kingdom.
Yeah.
But that can't be true.
Come on,
right? We all need to be building God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Some of us in leadership, but really just a few. But what's even more needed is everybody to go, I'm passionate about building God's kingdom. How can I contribute? How can I build in these ways? And so we need people in the full-time ministry. But even more than that, or equal to that, we need just every part doing their work.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4, before this, tells us what, you know, lean into your role. Well, what's the role of a leader? Is a leader's role to do the work of the ministry? No, the Bible says a leader's role is to equip God's people for work of ministry. Right? The leader's job is not to do the ministry. That's every disciple's job. We are all in Jesus' ministry.
Yeah.
And hopefully all of us are in it full time.
Yeah.
Not, oh, sometimes I serve in Jesus' ministry, sometime I don't. Right? We are all in Jesus' ministry. We all have our own part of the work to do.
Yeah.
Right? What's the heartbeat of the book of Acts? It's not just Peter and Paul. It's not just Philip and Stephen. It's Aeneas and Tabitha as well.
Yeah.
It's all of them.
Yeah.
All doing their part was the heartbeat. And that needs to be ours as well. And so, will you do your part? Are you leaning in? You know, there are ways God has gifted you for you to serve him and honor him that are unique to you. Right? There's strengths that you have. There's interests that you have, passions you have. There's talents that you have, right? And some of those are obvious, like maybe art or music, or maybe it's actually building or working hard or engineering, designing, social media. Everybody's got different gifts, or some people are strategists. Some people, right, really have an extra heart for the poor. And so we need people to help pioneer service ministry or running our social media or whatever it is. But everybody's got different gifts, right? There's people that you can uniquely relate to that other people can't. Because of experiences you've had, because of passions that you have, your major, or whatever. And so we've all got to lean in to our roles. We are all scattered across New York City. Every borough and beyond is represented right here. How do we reach all million? There's a million young people between 18 and 25. How do we reach all those people scattered all over New York City? It's each person just doing their little part. Right, reaching out to the people on your campus, on your subway train, on your walk to work. Right, it's each part doing its work. But we've talked about this with giving. But how about with studying the Bible with people? If we put up what percentage of our ministry are in Bible studies with non-Christians? Right, are you in a Bible study with someone who's not a Christian trying to help them become one? Right, and more that's happening. And it's super inspiring, but I want to call all of you to not miss out on that.
Yeah.
That's such a big part of Jesus' ministry, right? Everyone should give at least a little something, and everybody should be in at least one Bible study with somebody that you're trying to bring to Jesus.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to do their part. And when just a little bit comes from everybody, it adds up to a lot. You know, we need disciples to enter every area of the workforce, to be a light, to reach people where other people aren't going to go, right? In the food industry, in the media industry, in all different blue collar industry. And there's so many different areas in the finance industry. We need disciples to go let Jesus live through them in every aspect of society. And so as you're thinking about what career you're pursuing, think about how can I use that lane? How could I use that career to glorify God, to spread his kingdom? And as you go into that job, don't go, well, I didn't go into ministry, so I'm not building the church. No, think about, I went in the ministry through this company. How can I build the church?
Yeah.
I went in the ministry through this career path. How can I build the church through it?
Right?
And in the meantime, in your classes, your current job, I'd be remiss to talk about Tabitha, not talk too about leaning in to helping the poor, right? There's so many opportunities in New York City to help the poor. We're going to keep having more and more service opportunities with our ministry. When we have those, when you see those opportunities, give your heart towards them.
Yeah.
Find out ways that you could be like Tabitha to help those that can't do anything in return. You know, Manny did a great job sharing about this earlier, but leaning into your role with giving, the chart that was put up, just each part doing its work. There's so many different ways that we can all give. And you know, there's aspects of it that aren't, well, some people, their gift is to encourage others and others don't. There's things we all need to do, you know, encouraging each other, being on the mission. There's things we all do, but then there's unique lanes and gifts and outlets through which we can do those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Tabitha used her gifts to serve God's kingdom. She did a lot with her little. Every bit of work from every disciple adds up to honor God. I like this quote from N.T. Wright. He said, there's no such thing as a small errand in the kingdom of God. Mm. And we need that perspective that every little thing we do for God matters. It all adds up. He is as equally pleased with you this morning. If you intentionally have a giving conversation with somebody that builds them up, follows up on this lesson maybe, and leads them feeling loved and connected with, as he is with me for getting up and preaching this sermon.
Yeah.
Right? We've all got to do our part. And it's a beautiful thing when everybody leans into their gifts and opportunities, big and little. It makes the heartbeat of Jesus' vision strong and come alive. And I'd just like to say this past year, guys, I mean, most of you were here last summer when we started pulling this group together. And it was exciting then, but it hadn't really like come together yet, you know? And for those of us that were there, hasn't it been so encouraging to see what God has done even in just the first year of relationships, of coming together, of people finding their role? I have gotten to watch as one by one, each of you have started to lean in, and it is so inspiring. You know, I'm so inspired by Buka and Anthony, these guys getting up, traveling from Staten Island, coming to serve in this ministry. These guys have helped set up our equipment on Sundays and getting people studying the Bible in Staten Island, traveling, setting a great example. I've been so inspired by Chris Wood coming in, getting on the worship team. Chris led his first Bible talk at Lehman College, helping out with that. I've been inspired by Jackson coming back home. Guys, when you're only somewhere for a little while, it's easy to not lean in. Jackson's like, I'm only going to be here for 6 months or so, and he is leaning in.
Yeah.
Helping a Bible talk at Brooklyn College, getting going, and being such a great brother here. You know, I'm always so encouraged by Renan. I've been calling Renan recently. I've called Renan. You know, Peter was called the apostle to the Jews, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm calling Renan the apostle to the kingdom kids. You know, he is just reaching out to other kids that grew up in the church but maybe didn't get as tied in and loving them. Reaching out to them. Such an inspiring brother. I've been so encouraged by Kaylee coming into our ministry. This girl, she knows how, you know how to serve people and love people in a specific to them way. even using her 3D printer at school to make stuff for people. You know, there's so many more people. I think about Grace and Brianna and them helping get this women's Bible talk going. You know, Gigi, Grace, and Brianna got this women's Bible talk going at Mount St. Vincent. And they're working together as such an awesome team. And this past week, Gigi had COVID and she couldn't be there. So did they call it quits? No. Grace and Brianna got on campus, shared their faith, and had the Bible talk anyway. You know, I think about Brittany. Brittany, this girl works so hard for God's kingdom. She pours herself out going to Queens, going to Brooklyn, loving the women, loving the campuses there. I wish I could take time to mention every person here, but God knows your heart. God knows what you're doing. But on top of all of that, there's so many of you bringing out friends to things, reaching out to each other during hard times that you're going through, fighting for each other. There are some of you that are giving generously. There's so much more that goes unseen or is unmentioned. God knows it. We see it. We are so grateful. And when I say we, I mean all of us, just for each other and what we get to be part of. And I just want to urge all of you, keep at it. Lean in. The investment is worth it. If you've not been leaning in, figure out, well, am I just kind of like one foot in this ministry, or can I really lean in? And like I just said, the investment is worth it. Think about Tabitha's life. I love where it's said here, all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Tabitha had made while she was still with them. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
Yeah.
Like they had these articles of clothing that were precious because during this woman's life, she used her gift to serve and to create these things, and they had these to cherish and hold on to. And if when Tabitha woke up and she saw the impact her life had, do you think she regretted any of it? Do you think she felt like, oh, I was just a widow that didn't get to do much in this world? No, she felt like, wow, I did it right.
Yeah.
And she got to do it right a little bit longer. You know, but this is the kind of impact you want to have with your life. Right? The disciples cherished Tabitha. That's who she was to the church. That's who you want to be to the church, to this ministry. Somebody who the outpouring of your love is cherished by other people. Who she was and what she did. Right? You've got to live to leave this kind of image behind, this kind of experience behind. Right? That as you leave the campus ministry, that is hard for you to for us to lose you.
Yeah.
Right? That as you go on, it's like, man, that's going to be a hole to fill. You know, that as you go on from the singles into the marriage ministry, it's going to be like, man, we're going to miss them here. That as you go on from earth to heaven one day, it's going to be like, man, look at the impact that they had.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot harder without them here. I do want to say we are just getting started with all that needs to happen through this group. Over the next few years, this room needs to be 100 people or more.
Yeah.
We've got to reach so many more people. We're just getting started, and we need all the help we can get.
Yeah.
And so one of our ideas that we're going to flush out the details of a little more, starting what I want to call a legacy team. And that's going to be a team that when you graduate, you could decide, I'm going to stay for a year, and I'm going to keep helping to build this ministry. Before I move on, I'm going to stay a little longer to help get more momentum going and more going. But while you're here, we need you to lean in. And maybe after you're done, to stay a little longer and to keep leaning in. And so like Tabitha, what will you leave behind? Each ministry you're in, what will you leave behind in the church that they will cherish? So let's lean into the ministry. Amen. Care about people. Give your heart. Make us better. Make us brighter for God. Lean into the mission. Who can you reach? Who can you befriend? Who can you invite? Who can you study the Bible with? Lean into serving, using your gifts, your talents, your resources, and opportunities. And through those heartbeats, through the heartbeat of Peter, Aeneas, and Tabitha, we see the big impact of Jesus' vision that it had. Right after those two stories, what does it say? All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Big impact because of this little story. And verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Big impact for Jesus' vision through this woman's life and Peter serving in this way. And so we need to carry on the heartbeat of Jesus' vision in our day. by every person letting Jesus live through them, and every person leaning in to their role. You know, at this time we're going to close out with taking communion together. And I think that's very fitting because, you know, Jesus and what he did on the cross is really the heart behind all of those heartbeats. The cross is why we're here, why we do any of this, and what it's all about. If you need a communion cup, you didn't get one, you could go ahead and raise your hand and somebody can bring one to you. You know, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, "We love because he first loved us." Why do we let Jesus live through us? Why do we lean in to our role? Well, we love because he first loved us. And that's what taking communion is all about, is remembering Jesus lived for me, he suffered for me, he died for me, and then he rose for me so I can live a new life. Yeah. Not a life for ourselves, but a life for him and a life for his vision for the world. And so today, as you're deciding to let Jesus live through you, remember that he lived and died for you. And as you're deciding to lean in and give yourself, remember that he didn't shy away from the cross. He didn't shy away from you. He leaned in and gave himself. Amen? So let's love God, love each other, and love the lost because he first loved us. Let's go to God in prayer as we take communion. Father, thank you so much for this time today that we get to come together as your people that you redeemed. God, that we get to look at your word together and see who you are, what you do for us, what you've done for us, how you love and how you love us. So that we can be inspired as you first loved us to go and love each other, to love you, to love this world. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you that when it was his turn to lean in, to go to the cross for us, he didn't pull back. He didn't shy away. He gave himself for us. God, help us to remember his life, his self-denial, God, his suffering, his love, his death on the cross, and let that, God, inspire us that we are so loved, that we are completely forgiven, that we are so believed in, and that you didn't raise us from the dead to do nothing. You raise us from the dead to fulfill your vision with our lives, to have an impact. I pray that every one of us will let you, let Jesus live through us, that we won't get up and go about life for ourselves. We'll get up and go about life for you, that we'll care about people like Jesus's ministry. We'll let our lives read like the pages of the gospel because we're letting you live through us. And God, help every one of us to lean in. I know that we will not see your vision accomplished without each person stepping up, leaning in, and fulfilling their role, each part doing its work. Help every one of us to be inspired that what we give here ripples into eternity, God. It matters forever. And that each one of us can have a vision for our lives that as we leave a ministry and go on to a new one, as we leave one part of the church and go on to a new one, as we leave earth one day and go on to a new one, there will be a crowd of people around weeping and holding and remembering the way that we impacted their lives and impacted this world like Tabitha did. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for the ways that you're working. In Jesus' name, amen.